Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, joined today by
Shelly,
my daughter Shelly. And we're going to begin talking about the nations. You remember we're praying about an awakening. When God said to us, one thing will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God. This was back in 2008. One thing will avail for Israel and the nations. It is an awakening to God. And so we've been very involved in, and you can hear it now. I stood there on the mall and stood on the platform behind Glenn Beck and looked out over 500,000 plus people who had come there. It wasn't a political rally. And one of the first things Glenn Beck said was, today America turns back to God. And we're seeing it happen on every hand. God is involved with nations.
Yes, He is.
Shelley, I remember God has used a couple of supernatural things to show me how involved He is with nations. Now, I'm not talking about the individuals right now in the nations. I'm talking about nations as nations,
right,
and their part in history. And in Acts chapter 17, this is one of the things that God did for me. I was in Nanafalia, Alabama, and I was staying at a friend's house and had just arrived. And she had a Bible by the side of the bed, and I just opened it. It fell open to Acts chapter 17, and I started reading. Now, verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. When I got to this point, the Lord said to me, I want you to pay particular attention to how I had the Apostle Paul declare me to pagans, to people who knew nothing about me. And so I did. He had himself declared as, verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. He's the boss. He made it. That's the grounds that he speaks on of authority. And then in verse 26, and he has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their times before appointed and the boundaries of their habitation. He has brought forth nations. The United States of America, Canada, Australia are new nations. We didn't come forth, 6,000 years from Adam, 1,000 years being as a day. We didn't come forth until the last half of the sixth day. And so we've been praying for an awakening in America. As you know, we have every Wednesday live prayer. People join us from 61 nations around the world. My grandson Brandon and I have just come back from a month traveling across Canada. And today I want to tell you some of the very wonderful things we learned there and what we saw happening in Canada. Now, God showed me that he brought forth the nations and he works with the nations. Now, another thing that he's reminded me of, and I have the book at the side of my bed, he said to me years ago, I want you to find out about Joan of Arc. Well, I did and I didn't. I looked in the encyclopedia before internet days and I read a little bit about her and I just dropped the subject. A year went by, 2 years. And I was in, I was with Brenda Baeza, she was when she came to work for me at Rhema. And we had gone to see her sister who made stained glass windows. And in the stained glass window shop, there was an antique store right there with it, and they had old books. And on the top shelf, a book fell off and hit me in the head, and it was Joan of Arc. I still have that book. I've been reading it at night before I go to bed. And I started reading about Joan of Arc. It was a well-done book, told exactly what she had visitations from heaven, what they said to her. It was a miraculous thing. And you see, England had been in a war with France. They called it the Hundred Years' War. And England was winning, and they were about to swallow up France. They had it divided into little parts. One part of France couldn't reach the other part of France. France didn't have a leader. They had a dauphin, a prince, And but he couldn't get to where you're supposed to be crowned, and he was just like a little prisoner down in part of the France. And the Lord spoke to this little peasant girl and gave her a plan to save France. So I know you've heard something of Joan of Arc.
Mm-hmm.
So I studied that book, and the Lord said to me, if I had not preserved France, there would be no United States of America. For those colonists were fighting the superpower of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And they could not have won without the aid of France.
Right.
Now, he said, I told you to read about this to show you that I am involved in the affairs of nations as nations.
Yes.
Well, you're a witness, Shelley, to how that opened doors among the Lutherans with us, we're not going there today. It just, that scripture in Acts,
mm-hmm.
and then the Joan of Arc thing that happened to me, I began to be very watchful and noticing God and nations. Now, I haven't gone to Canada for some years. We have an office in Canada, Billy Graham Ministries in Kelowna, Canada. I had never been to their capital. The capital is in Ottawa. So around the 1st of September, I went to Ottawa. And there, the Lord said, I want you to give the awakening message. Because he said one thing will save the nations, an awakening to God. So I started preaching on awakening, and of course, most of my study on awakening has to do with the awakening in America, the Great Awakening. And so I had this book with me, The Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall and David Manuel, which covers our history from 1492, Columbus, on to 1793. When Peter Marshall and David Manuel began, and we have this book if you'd like to buy it, when they began to write the book, they wanted to know, this was 32 years ago, they put out the first copy. Now it's a revision. More has been added, 32 years of history. But they went seeking a question. They had a premise. Did God have a plan for America? Does he still have a plan for America? David Manuel and his wife Shelley happened to be out here at Prayer Mountain Sunday. We talked about this. And they found in searching, yes, God had a plan. So they took us back to our roots in that book. And I found this about Canada, that the United States, as long as they went, they had the Great Awakening. It started with George Whitefield. He came over from England. He preached One Nation Under God. Then the ministers took up that message, united and under God. And they preached it. And George Washington, of course, was our general.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not expansionist. He didn't want to go past the 13 colonies. But two of his generals convinced him to go north to take Quebec. One of them was a General Schuyler, and the other one was Benedict Arnold. And so would you read, please, starting there where that's green. She's reading from page 369 in this book, The Light and the Glory.
In the meantime, the preliminary stages of the invasion of Canada were well underway. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Start right here.
Okay.
The green.
All right. From the beginning, America's first campaign of territorial conquest seemed dogged with misfortune. Everything went wrong. The forces were supposed to have been halfway to Montreal by mid-October, but General Schuyler's illness had forced him to turn over command to Montgomery. In addition, short supplies, torrential rains, and endless debates over the meaning of Montgomery's orders had slowed their progress to a crawl. On the other prong of the attack, things were going even worse.
That would be Benedict Arnold's.
Benedict mm-hmm. Arnold was leading a column of 1,000 soldiers up the Kennebec River, straight into the heart of Maine's vast wilderness as the first frosts of winter were already setting in. He had persuaded Washington to let him plan in carrying out a daring surprise attack on Quebec from a direction they would never expect. But a written request from Arnold to a friend in Quebec asking for information was intercepted before they had even reached the halfway point. From then on, the British knew when the Americans were coming and were there. On the Kennebec, the men on the trek hardly cared because the operation had been reduced to a grinding ordeal. The river boats had been hurriedly out of Greenwood, and the consequent leaking had ruined large quantities of provisions and ammunition. Vicious icy rapids took a steady toll, and grueling portages delayed them till further. So on October 18th, the last team of oxen was slaughtered for meat, and some of the men were eating their candles to stay alive. The next morning, the weather, which had never been good, became horrendous. Four successive days and nights of driving downpour had raised the river 10 feet and turned it into a raging torrent. More boats and supplies were lost, and what had been a difficult and dangerous route before turned into a nightmare from which there was no awakening. On October 25th, the rain turned to snow and brought the bedraggled army to a halt. Mutiny now shifted from a possibility to a stark reality. The officers of the Connecticut troop forced Roger Enos, their commander, to withdraw them from the Folly and take them back to Cambridge. His effective force now reduced by a third, Arnold struggled on. But the worst was yet to come. Oh, my goodness. The frightening thing about the vast Maine wilderness is how easily one can get lost in it. When they reached Lake Megantic, much of Arnold's remaining force, misled by inaccurate maps, became disordered and closed to panic in endless swamps that seemed hopelessly similar. For 3 days and nights, four companies of soldiers stumbled aimlessly through the frozen wastes with nothing to eat. As Dr. Isaac Center, the Army's physician, recorded, quote, "We wandered through hideous swamps."
We're going to have to hurry, Shelley. We're okay. About out of time.
Well, there's just a lot of detail.
It's terrible.
Here.
The detail is terrible for another page and a half.
Goodness.
But I want you to pick it up. I want you to pick it up.
Hideous swamps. Yes.
Pick it up right here.
Well, did it occur to them?
Oh, start reading right there.
The story of the invasion of Canada is this grim and heartbreaking tragedy. These men had given everything in total commitment and for nothing. Did it occur to them the reason might have been that no matter how noble it appeared or how total their commitment, it was entirely out of God's will?
Yes. Now skip on to that next paragraph that's under that line that's under green.
Okay. The annexation of Canada was apparently not in God's plan for the United States. However, when the British for once pressed their advantage,
now let me break in here.
Americans in
it was not when they started south again, then they got the blessings of God.
Yes.
Now, at that same time, here's a Puritan prophecy that came in 1776. Around 1776, this prophecy was given by the Puritan reformers when the British Empire loyalists turned north to settle in Canada in order to remain under British rule. When zealous Americans sought to persecute them because of this decision, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through their prophets, saying, "Do not hinder these people. Let them move to Canada. Do not seek to incorporate the land of Canada into America. I am in the independence of America from Britain and will mightily use this country. But Canada has been reserved by me for the last days for a special work."
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, when we read these things in Canada, the people came alive. They are believing God for an awakening. It's happening around the world.
Glory.
And this is Billy Brim and
Shelley
saying shalom, shalom until tomorrow.